Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, I remain in Los Angeles, where I just saw my fourth of five shows. This one called If I Forget at the always daring and innovative Fountain Theater in Hollywood. This is a powerful piece. Apparently, it played a few years back in New York off Broadway. But I guess if I didn't see it, because, pardon the pun, if I forgot, shame on me. The playwright is Stephen Levinson of Dear Evan Hansen fame. The show is beautifully directed by Jason Alexander of Seinfeld fame. And by the way, that show gets a mention in here. And the cast of eight is as good as any I've seen all year. It's a play about a Jewish family, and that matters. But in many ways, it could be any family, dealing with feuding siblings, financial crises, and how to care for ailing parents. It takes place in the early 2000s. Funny lines about that new thing called the cell phone. You can't have one. You're not a drug dealer. Are you a heart surgeon? Gore versus Bush is happening. The Oslo Accords are faltering. Politics are divisive. Sound familiar? Is being a one-issue voter, that issue being Israel, right? Even falafel here comes up for debate. The main character has written a book, the title of which is Forgetting the Holocaust. Suffice to say, that leads to a whole lot of trouble in the home and in his workplace. Do you have to be Jewish to appreciate this play? Well, I'd say most of the audience at the Fountain likely was. But again, I believe any family trying to hold on to what they've inherited for the next generation, they'll appreciate this. As for the other and my usual coast back there, things remain pretty quiet on Broadway. The week's headline, the one I predicted, was that Aaron Sorkin's stage adaptation of Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird will not reopen on Broadway. The decision was handed down by the show's lead producer, Scott Rudin, who was the disgraced theater and film impresario, whose abusive colleagues, blah, 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 caused him to step away. But apparently Sorkin and director Bartlett Scheer broke the news to the company, describing Rudin's last-minute decision as incomprehensible. The drama was, I believe, the most successful in Broadway history, rarely an empty seat. On the other hand, Rudin looked at the landscape right now and didn't see a way for the show to continue. Listen, he's a bad man with good taste and, in this case, probably correct business sense. That production is traveling this country and playing in London, so it's making money. There is some good news on Broadway, as expected. Into the Woods, the encore revival of the Sondheim show, has been extended, and I grabbed a seat for mid-August. But mostly we are awaiting fall productions, which I've discussed before. The two of the ones that have me most excited come from Britain, new plays by Tom Stoppard and David Hare. Actually, three are crossing the ocean, even though the third is written by our own Arthur Miller. But this particular production of Death of a Salesman received raves on the West End. Starring an all-black cast, one of my favorites, Wendell Pierce as Willie Loman, and Sharon B. Clarke as his wife. As for future jukeboxes, the Neil Diamond one seems to be getting the most ink and anticipation. And just last week, details arrived about another biography of sorts, one about, well, my all-time favorite actress, and probably yours, Audrey Hepburn. She won both the Tony and the Oscar in her first year on the American scene, and of course commanded the screen for decades. Her own life had its own drama, however, from her days as a ballerina turned spy in Nazi-occupied Holland, to her heartbreaking attempts with multiple men to create the family she so desired. It was also announced that the classic Western, High Noon, is being developed as a stage play. I am a true lover of Westerns, but I have a hard time envisioning that one. Maybe Billy Crystal can do a City Slickers meets High Noon version? Who knows? In other mediums, or media, whatever, last week I discussed the Ethan Hawke-directed documentary called The Last Movie Stars, a six-parter about Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward. Well, now I have watched it all, and I think Hawke can die proud. In the end, we really felt the love of theater for those, that those two had. Yes, it's where they began, and in a way, it's where they ended. And mostly, we understand their love for each other. Now, I often talk about books that I'm reading that have a theatrical bent. Well, right now, that book is the James Burroughs autobiography called Directed by James Burroughs. He is arguably the most successful director in TV sitcom history. And as he describes his process, at one point he says, "Even though I haven't touched a theatrical stage in a long time, in my head and heart, I'm still a theater director." His father, Abe, was a legend of the stage, and his son began there. It's where he worked as a stage manager for one Mary Tyler Moore in a very bad show. Well, she later offered him to work in a very good show on television, and well, the rest is history. There were some notable deaths this past week. Yes, of course, NBA legend Bill Russell, but also Tony and Emmy-winning actress Mary Alice. I remember seeing her in Fences, the August Wilson classic. She was a former Chicago school teacher, and Mary Alice appeared in nearly 60 television shows and films. In 2000, she was inducted into the Theater Hall of Fame. Finally, every time I worry about the future of theater and whether young people will continue to cherish it, we talk about that here often, I meet someone like Omid, I think his last name was Haideri. Excuse me if I didn't pronounce it right. He's the arts teacher at a private school in the Pacific Palisades section of West Los Angeles. When I saw him recently, he was on his way to Iran to bid farewell to a dying grandmother. But Omid is pure buoyancy and joy. He has written original shows for his middle school students who adore him, including one that explained their pandemic experience. That was actually shown at a movie theater here. Anyway, his love of stage and its possibilities is nothing less than infectious. And Jill, that gives me hope, and I'm sure it gives you hope as well.
It sounds terrific, but I'm always happy when someone, and I did this just happened a few minutes ago, you know, someone who was really, really not optimistic about anything, suddenly had a couple of interactions that made him incredibly, it's like, well, wait a second. Oh, wait, you know, it's not as helpless, hopeless, or whatever as hitherto led to believe. Let's talk about Mockingbird for a second.
Yeah.
Because you could have seen that one coming, or at least I saw that coming in June.
Well, they announced in April or May that Mockingbird and the Bob Dylan show, Girl from the North Country, they were the two that were pausing, and both were promising to reopen in May, I believe. And I thought it was a bad idea for both. That's just me. I don't say it was a bad idea for Mockingbird. I said I just didn't think it would happen once they saw the, you know, what was happening. But the Dylan show did open, but as you know, it failed. It just couldn't make it. God bless him for trying. I love that show. And I loved Mockingbird, but I don't know. You know, I don't blame him. What's doing well now? Is that the show, the tourists that New York is still getting? Is that the show they want to see, or do they just want these musicals? The only shows that are doing well are the old musicals. I can't think of one drama. I may be wrong. I have to look at the list, but I cannot think of one drama of the last 2 years that's still...
All right, I have to say this, even though history begins at the point in time most convenient to the argument. All right, anyone remember 9/11?
Yeah.
All right, anyone remember what opened?
Was that Hamilton?
No.
Oh, no, of course not. What did open?
Mamma Mia.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, and people were just, it was just, and the amazing, so I am just staggered that no one has, you know, done that. No one seems to have, when I say no one, it doesn't appear that the thought leaders, quote, in this particular industry are even going to, shall we say, recent history. You know, there is a reason that things make people feel good. And after a hideous time, it is, in my, I guess, twisted view of entertainment, the responsibility of the entertainer to make people feel good. And when people feel good, they tell other people, it's like, you know, yeah, it was a wretched blah, blah. But yeah, for 2 hours, I felt good. And you know what happens? Those other people go out and buy tickets.
Well, that's right. You know how I feel about Music Man. Remember when I reviewed that and I said, is it the best one ever? People were criticizing it. Is he the perfect Music Man? I don't care. I saw Music Man the day that the Ukraine war broke out. And let me tell you, I was so happy sitting in that theater. And there's a reason that the only two really hit new shows are the music, new version of an old show, Music Man and Six, about the six women who, you know, married Henry. But anyway.
Actually, he married them. It wasn't like they were walking out.
That's right.
It's like, oh, sorry. Yeah, no. Next.
Next, yeah. But, I mean, you just, you know, all you have to do is look at the tickets booth and the shows that are not selling half-price tickets are Moulin Rouge and Six. And MJ actually is doing very well, the Michael Jackson show.
Because the music, like it or not, I mean, whatever, that music is going to make you feel good.
That's right. And David Mamet probably is not going to make you feel good. And as hard as Aaron Sorkin worked to make a beautiful rendition that dealt with that, updated in a way, Harper Lee definitely updated, for various reasons, post in racial reckoning. It's still not probably the show that most people want to see. And so many people saw it already. The people who keep coming back to New York, they saw it the first time. And anyway, it's playing in London. It's playing around the country, starring Richard Thomas. He's a big name, a wonderful name. And that's where it should be, treating people in cities like the one I'm in, Los Angeles, even though it's a sophisticated city. I get it.
No, that's absolutely right. And again, I'm going to lapse into back in the day. These things were, let's just say, appear to have been more taken more into account than at present, because again, the definition of entertainment is very clear, and if you are in that particular milieu, it would be helpful to remind yourself of
Oh, that's right. And to put a final little loop on this, here I'm talking about the shows I'm looking forward to, and I keep mentioning them. You know, this is one of them, is Tom Stoppard talking about finding out he was Jewish after, you know, late in life, and it's all about, you know what, post-World War II. It's not a happy comedy, and either is the other one that I'm looking forward to. David Hare's show is about Robert Moses, a very big figure in New York history, and he's a great writer. I don't know if those are going to be hot shows. I'm very excited, and certain people are, but you know, I'm sure they'll have short runs, and I'm sure they'll be limited runs. You'll see that. But you know, again, God bless them for trying and bringing them here. Stoppard's a big name here. David Hare's and Robert Moses are big names here, but we'll see. You know, they're not going to be singing in the rain.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.